Hey, welcome to the Business Spotlight. Today I've got Phil Arkin and R.H. Delaney of DeLarkin. Hey, guys.
Hey.
All right. Today we're going to talk about DeLarkin. We're going to talk about your business, what makes you unique, and why people should do business with you. First question. Tell me about your business. How'd you get started? That's how we'll do it.
Jump us off.
Well, my family owns a mattress company that's almost 100 years old, and I was running the factory, their factory there. About 6 months in, I needed a guy. Philip and I had worked together in the past. He was in a restaurant that that I was working in. He was the world's worst bouncer, and in need of a new job. So I just needed a guy and hired him. We weren't friends. We were just two guys that got along and had worked well together in the past. 6 months after that, something like that, we were roommates, and we've been kind of inseparable ever since. Spent a lot of years in that factory learning the craft, getting really, really good at it, learning from each other, challenging each other. We quickly learned that Philip and I have very different skill sets, very complementary skill sets. So what was cool about that is after a while, I kind of stopped being his boss, and we just decided that we were co-managers of the factory and ran a crew and everything. And over time, they wanted to go in a little bit more of a factory direct kind of direction with that. But he and I wanted more challenging stuff that really used what we were really good at, which is solving problems nobody else wants to solve, which is why we started DeLarkin, which is a mattress company in a time and in a place with a really oversaturated market in one way for our product. But in another way, nobody was doing what we wanted to do. So it was kind of wide open for us.
Well, Dusseldorf kicked that off.
Yeah. Well, what started it originally was that we were approached by a company that wanted us to design a mattress for a proprietary type of support system. And I got an invitation, and it was kind of a casual, like, oh, you should come kind of thing, to to a convention in Dusseldorf in Germany. And I bought a plane ticket, and they were, when we showed up, they were like, really, you're here? And we're like, yeah. So that gave us an opportunity to really learn where some of the unserved markets were when it came to specifically RV mattresses and the way that they have to have special sizes and the criteria for success is really different. And just because you do one perfectly doesn't mean you have the information to build another one perfectly. So it's always, every mattress is almost a new invention for us.
What RH is omitting from this story is that when he was in Dusseldorf,
I don't omit.
He was approached by a company. Allegedly. He was approached by a company that was like, oh, we can't find anybody who actually has a mattress that works with this product. And he goes, oh, no, we do. Like, we built a mattress. We've got that. No problem. They're like, really? He goes, yeah. And then they're like, well, that's great. Or where are you? He tells them where we are, you know, West Columbia. And they go, oh, we have a spot in Somerville. Could our people come out and look at it? He goes, absolutely. Wait till I get back, you know, so, you know, we can have everything ready to present. But yeah, absolutely. And he goes back to his hotel that night, I'm assuming in Dusseldorf, and calls me and goes, hey, you have 2 weeks to figure out this thing that no one else in the world has figured out because they're on their way. And I went, cool. 2 weeks ended up being a month, but then they showed up and they were like,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, not me. Not me. I nailed it though.
Yeah, you did.
They were very happy.
And so what was this? It was like just a special type of mattress or what was the
no, it was a no, it was a so it was an adjustable base.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the kind that raises and, you know, yeah, and all that. But it was very, very narrow, designed specifically to fit into a small space for like trucks or boats or something, you know, uh-huh, like that.
Small doors and things. There's not even room to get it in.
Yeah, like very, very small. Like the thing's made of like a plastic polymer. It's mm-hmm, very light. And in order to adjust it, to compensate for the fact that it's so small, such a low profile, there's nothing underneath it. It's only about, I don't know, 4 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to adjust it, they had little, I don't know, pop outs that you can tighten.
It's even springs.
Yeah. And that mm-hmm, they tighten it or loosen. So you can create something that's firmer or softer. The difference is that most situations with a mattress interacting with the box spring, you've got the mattress is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the box spring just simply makes sure that the wear and tear from your body is being evenly distributed on the mattress for mm-hmm, maximum longevity. With this system, you had to make a mattress that works with this system to create the feel.
Okay.
So you basically had to assume, hey, I'm not going to have a box spring, but this mattress is only half of what this person's sleeping on. So I ended up having to make a mattress that was like, I think it ended up being 4.5 inches thick. And so that works with that system. Now it feels like one whole mattress.
Okay.
Yeah. I had three samples. They hated one. They thought one was okay. And then they loved the middle. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked a lot about how you got started. What's changed? It's been about 5 years since you really launched.
Oh crap, dude.
Yeah.
man, we were not ready for a successful business when we started.
We thought we were.
Yeah.
We had some great ideas.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
it didn't work the way that we were.
Yeah, you go.
No. It's like everybody that starts a business. You don't start a business unless you're unreasonably optimistic and a little bit of a narcissist. Mm-hmm. Because to be able to say, I'm going to start a successful business that's going to make an impact on my market, like you have to have at least a grain of narcissism to even have that thought. And, so we went into it like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to do this, this, and this. And, I mean, we've been fine, like, ever since when we first started the business, we were still working at the family business and, trying to figure out how our business was different from theirs and how we could work together and how we could not conflict. And, like, that was step one. But then when we finally made the jump to go full-time in our business, which is, there's never a good time for that. That's one really important thing. Like, you think that you're going to be like, oh, we've got enough business to support ourselves, we'll do it. But like, mm-hmm. It's a chicken or egg situation. So of course we went full time because we felt like we were ready to do that. And we were going to take over the world and do all of that. And it's been okay. Like we were, I don't feel like we were ever in real peril, but like there was no bottle rocket moment for any of that. It's just this slow bit by bit and then figuring out a new market that we can serve and this one customer that's going to order a couple of mattresses a year and then like all of the miles that you drive and the doors that you knock on and all of that stuff. Meanwhile, that was what I was doing. He's at home. He's trying to figure out as one guy, how do I make all this stuff? How do I answer the phone, place the orders, drive hours to go pick up materials? And so you've got an entire day driving there and back. So you lost a day of production. And, all of the things that go along with that. And then, meanwhile, I'm handling the business side of it. So he's like, all right, do we order this now or do we order it next week? And I'm not always in a position to give a good answer. So that puts us in a position of arguing constantly, which is part of the reason that he and I get along so well. We're always arguing, so we never actually fight. We're always irritated with each other, so no one actually has to yell.
Just like that perfect balance of irritation. Yeah.
And it's okay. Always bleeding out at the other one. We don't take it ever personally. Actually, I can say that. Never.
It's not taken personally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not meant personally. It's just a matter of like, these are your responsibilities. These are my responsibilities. The end goal is the same, but mm-hmm. the responsibilities don't necessarily sync up at all timing-wise. I've got to order this material because I'm out of this, and if I can't get any more in time for this, then we can probably grab some from over here, but it's going to cost significantly more. We're already running low. And then his point is, okay, well, you did say that to me. That's true. But then I was over here doing this. It didn't get written down. So now it's lost. So now I need to figure this out. And in the meantime, I've got to figure this out because we don't have the material.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because you work well together doesn't mean you're ready to run a business together.
However, more to, I think, his point,
yeah.
initially, running out of stuff and figuring out how you're going to not miss the deadline. And then, to be fair, we don't miss the deadlines. We get stuff done when it's supposed mm-hmm. to. Just sometimes it's a little hairy. But doing that when you're early, when you're young, when you don't really know what you're doing to operate a full business, it means that your solutions are scalable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we talk about all the time, where we're like, okay, this thing we did saved the day today, but if we have twice the business, it's not going to work. Right. So we're never allowed to use that solution again.
Right.
I mean, right?
Yeah, that's been the main thing that I've butted up against personally, is I've got a very, this is the problem, what's the solution to this problem type of mindset.
He's a bit of a myopic chihuahua.
Yeah. And I'm really, really good at, I'm really, really good at fixing this, whatever this is. I'm really good at taking care of that situation. This is what we're going to do about it. Cool. But I don't think in terms of looking downfield at all. And so
you're here. This is the problem today. Fix this.
Right. Right. See, you know, previously we're running out of materials. I mentioned this to you. We still don't have materials. Now it's a problem. Well, it's because I'm all right. And that conversation has gone. Okay, cool. I'll move stuff around. I can get up there on Tuesday to get this. I need the order placed right now. And his point is not, we can't pay for that. It's hold up, dude. We didn't need to be in a position to be having this conversation to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to which I go, well, I mentioned it to you. It was brought up, and then I didn't follow up because I was working on this. That's my big thing.
Didn't sit down, didn't put it on the list.
Yeah.
See, this is where the synergy comes in, because that's totally true. There's no defense for some of the things you're talking about, but on the other hand, I have trouble remembering to put my shoes on some days. So he's the guy that's sitting there and like, okay, I understand you're talking about in 6 months we have to do that. He's going, I don't care about that. Today we've got to make these mattresses. They've got to get packaged. They've got to get out. Can we please focus up on this? Put that down. Stop pointing at things.
Yeah. So there's a back and forth.
Yeah. But which is why we're constantly on each other's nerves, because we're both handling a different area of the business of the day to day.
Yeah, but we're able to navigate it because it's never personal. You can't take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really frustrated and pissed off at you person, you know, but you can't take it personally because the end goal is still for us to be successful at this.
Yeah, I just can't stay mad at you.
I get it. I can stay mad at him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't take it personally, so it's fine.
As long as it's not personal.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So what I'm picking up on is you're basically back of the house, you're front of the house, you're doing the sales, you're doing the marketing, you're doing the production building, and you guys kind of meet in the middle with order volume and getting materials figured out and everything.
Yeah.
We have two meetings every day.
Yeah.
They're generally pretty quick, and then we end up just on the phone about whatever. But we have a morning meeting about what we have to accomplish that day, and we have an evening meeting that. Well, it started as kind of wrapping up the day, but actually what it's kind of morphed into is, you know, we started our business because we wanted to create the type of lives for ourselves that we really wanted to have. And then we wanted to hire and be able to help our staff have that sort of thing and do things the way that we really wanted to do them. So a big part of our evening call has been like, okay, what are you going to do to close out the day? Then what are you going to do after you're done with work? What are you going to do that's just for you that has no real benefit outside of that? So that's a part of the exercise of like the business, building the business to build the business isn't the whole picture. It's, so we can have the kind of life that we want. But also he and I decided a long time ago that part of our professional goals was just to work together. So.
Yeah, well, actually, that's one of the things that we initially ran into. One of the problems is that now, right, we've always worked really, really well together, because we've just, even though we're very good at different things, again, they're very complementary.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always worked really, really well together. What we didn't take into account is a very significant part of that was we still shared the same space. Now we don't share the same space. He's in the office answering the phone, being on the computer and all that. I'm back in the warehouse building stuff. We're not in the same space. So we have to have those meetings multiple times a day. We have two set meetings. We speak more often than that. Yeah. But we have to have those meetings or else stuff just falls off because you forget to bring it up. Because one of the things that we were so good about, again, was we were in a shared space together and it could be like, dude, don't forget that.
Yeah.
And then you move on. You can't do that if you're not actually working side by side anymore. And that was, you know, that's an example of one of those things that we didn't think about. And that took a moment to really, you know, get that going.
Yeah. Okay.
I almost said grease those wheels.
You can grease lots of stuff.
Yeah. But then I didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
All right. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about you guys and your business relationship and what's working for you. Let's talk about your target audience, your clients, customers. How have they evolved over the last couple of years? I know when you started in 2020, that was a pretty big shift in a lot of things, but including specifically to the RV. So there's a lot of people. 2020?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. Like 2 months before.
I know that RV rates just for parking the RV at a spot on a campground is like three times as much as it used to be. There's so much demand back in 2020 that we're still seeing those kind of rates and everything. So there's people were in their RVs more that year, I would assume.
Well, people were buying them because they didn't want to stay in hotels.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But then one of the things that you butted up against is that people have a, like this, they have a, this core rejection of spending money on a mattress for their RV. There's mm-hmm. something about it that people don't like. Oh, it's a thing I use sometimes. I can suck it up and just, you know, sleep, you know, good enough.
Yeah.
To which I ask the question, then why did you Google me and call me?
Yeah. Obviously you're hurting. I mean, it seems weird to me they'd spend, I mean, what's the average RV cost? That's a big purchase.
Well, it's kind of got a wide spread depending on which type of RV, you know, that. So if somebody goes on Facebook Marketplace and they spend $2,500 on an old tow behind from the 60s that's fallen apart, like, I understand they don't want to pay for a mattress, but like, then you're going to have to do some work to make it work with a more traditional home mattress. And you can do that yourself. If you're handy, you can DIY that. But a lot of people don't want to do that, and they still want us to make, you know, something custom for them. So it's kind of like, well, and the other thing is, I tell people who are resistant to paying the price for something custom, like, I'll help you DIY that for free. Most people, when they see kind of what goes into that, they don't want to do it. That having been said, our prices are structured in such a way that, like, we have some pretty affordable stuff. We have some really nice top of the line stuff that you're going to spend some money on. But like, our goal was to be able to make stuff affordable, mm-hmm. but still use the highest quality materials and not cut corners on the way that it's made. So that's a problem. There is a basement to how low you can charge for a mattress and still be able to make something nice.
Right.
So the other thing that we run into sometimes is you'll have people that'll have a mattress that, let's say, it's in between a full and a queen size, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like, well, why is it more expensive than a queen if it's smaller than a queen? I'm like, because none of the parts come in that size. We have to make them all that size.
Got it. So it's more custom because it's not one of those standard sizes.
Yes.
It's more hands-on work. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, and again, you know, people don't understand this, and it's fair. They don't make mattresses, you know, mm-hmm. but if someone goes, oh, I have a mattress that needs to be 57 by 77.
Which is a little bit smaller than a queen.
A little bit smaller than a queen in both dimensions. Because a queen is 59.5 by 79.5, call it 60 by 80.
Yeah.
Well, the way that's made, because materials come in standard sizes, is we build a queen and then we shave it down to the finished size, mm-hmm. which means that we're still having to use the cost of a queen to make that. And that's
the same cost of materials, but it's more labor. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so that, you know, people don't like that, especially when we're talking about RV mattresses. Boat mattresses, we don't run into that much of an issue with.
Well, it's a different customer too.
Yeah.
That has different goals. The other challenge that we came up with is, let's say that we're in South Carolina and we've got a customer in Oregon who wants to do business with us. They're already sold. They have an odd size mattress, and let's say it's not even an actual rectangle. It's an odd shape, and this person is not comfortable with a tape measure. They don't know how to tell me what the sizing is. So how do I extract that information from their brain from the other side of the country when I can't come measure it myself? Now, bearing in mind, they've got their credit card in their hands. If I can get that information, I can get the order.
Yeah.
So then that became a challenge of figuring out exactly how to do it, which we did. We figured out how to do that. But one of the cool things that came from that is that meant that we found out that a lot of the people at the RV dealerships that are buying replacement mattresses for a unit that either they took in on a trade or is already sold or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that they were, for them to be able to place the order, they would have these giant like phone book looking books, like huge thick things where they would have to kind of Google askew for every possible permutation of a mattress.
Mm-hmm.
It would take them forever to be able to find it. And a lot of people found that it was so easy to order from us because we already had a process of getting the information for the sizing. They were like, you guys are more expensive than some of the people I can just order from. But when you consider how quick it is to order, you're actually not more expensive because we're not paying a guy to figure out what skew it is and you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So I never would have thought about that, but you sell your RV or you trade it in, you got a bed in it. You know, it's not like a car where, I mean, you've got upholstery, but it's upholstery. You clean it. It's a bed.
Yeah.
So is that like a requirement? Do they have to replace the bed, or is that kind of sometimes they do, sometimes they don't?
No, Camping World does.
I was going to say some companies.
Okay.
Camping World does.
Yeah.
Yeah, to their credit. Yeah.
I would especially if it's like a, and again, if it's that like trail behind What did you say? 1960 kind of trailer camping thing?
Yeah, an old beater, you know?
Some of the things that come out of those were gross.
Well, I mean, so you picture this. It's not only is it a little tow behind that's not in the greatest condition. Somebody's had it parked on their, like, hunting land for 15 years.
Yeah.
And you've had unwashed people that have been out in the woods for a week going and staying in it. And now, like, I don't want that mattress.
Has it been climate controlled?
Uh-huh.
Everything under the sun growing in, I think. In it. Not even on it. In it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Treating it like a Prius.
So if you buy a used RV, that needs to be your first purchase. That was a great other guy's reference.
Yeah, thanks.
That was a great one. Unless it's from camping.
Well, here's the thing, though. A
camper boat replaces it, man.
Yeah.
You bought an RV. You bought a camper, motorhome, whatever it is. The whole point is that it's your rolling bedroom. Why are you going to buy a rolling bedroom and have a crappy mattress in it?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
That's our point.
I mean, if all you need is a place to sleep, then, I mean, throw the mattress away. Just sleep on the platform. Actually, it's probably going to be more comfortable than some of those awful things that... So this is the other problem that people run into with these RVs when they want to buy a replacement. So an engineer is going to design the thing, and he's going to design the bedroom, and he's going to design the space so that, let's say, for example, a bathroom door has to open through the mattress, so he's going to remove a corner of the mattress. It's an odd size, odd shape. They're going to order a whole minimum order, whatever it might be, from, you know, container load, half a container load, whatever they need from China, typically. And, yeah, that's all the ones that are going to be made. for that size and shape. So you can't just go on and order another one. It's not like ordering a queen. Mm-hmm. So it is custom, and it's got to be made just for you. There's no more of them sitting in a warehouse for you to purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people want their custom stuff cheap.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things I ever heard.
All right, custom, I want it quick, and I want it cheap. Right?
That was it, yeah. He's like,
you pick two of those.
You can pick two of those things.
Right.
Yeah. Custom, cheap, quick. Pick two.
Yeah. I like that. So, yeah, what are some of the more common, I guess, questions and objectives that are objections that you're getting from your prospects?
That's all you. That's all you.
Well, so first of all, you talk price. And I always tell people before we get into that, I say that I'm going to give you a lower priced option. It's another company I have nothing to do with, but they do a good job. It is a lower price point, but they don't do what we do. So maybe call them and ask your questions to them too. So that would be the number one objection. Number two would be, which is a really good question. I bought this RV and I'm going to keep it for maybe 5 years. So, but your mattress is warrantied for 10 years. So why would I want to buy a 10-year mattress for a 5-year purchase like that? One of the things that we do that's really cool is for a nominal price, we can resize a mattress. So you buy it for this RV, and then your next one's a different size. There's some logistical issues of getting it to us and all that, but we've got systems for all of that too. And we can make it bigger, make it smaller. Philip, he does, particularly on our top of the line, there's a lot of variations on what's going to go in it, what the layers are, and the overall feel. Yeah. But he keeps really good notes on what he did. Mm-hmm. So 5 years later, he's going to know how he built your mattress, and he can build sort of a mattress extender for it.
No, I didn't used to.
Which... Well, that's back to that earlier topic.
One of those, like learning what to do things.
Yeah. Write it down every time. Yeah. You're not going to remember it. Turns out
I'm not going to remember it.
He's the best mattress builder in America. So typically he's going to come up with the same solution twice. But like good note taking is good note taking.
Yeah.
But you know, you would think as a layperson that if he's going to build a new, let's say 5-inch wider piece of your mattress and attach it to the side, that it would maybe lower the quality because there's a seam in it. But what we do is our process for doing that makes it where it's undetectable. It doesn't lower the quality. It doesn't lower the durability. And we can still comfortably warranty that for 10 years. Now, the other thing, I tell people this all the time. If I get somebody on the phone and I start doing some salesman stuff to just try to run a card and they're not going to be happy later, with a small, low volume, handmade business like ours, it doesn't help me one bit to sell a mattress that's going to be returned or that's going to get me a bad review. So we're not selling thousands of units. We're selling, you know, some a week. So some of these big claims that I make, I have to be able to back them up, or I have to trust him to back them up, or we wouldn't be in business still if we were doing that.
Yeah.
You just can't absorb the losses.
I remember I had one guy ask me, it was the most obnoxious question anyone had asked me before, and I ended up not selling this guy a mattress because I fairly quickly identified, I don't want to sell you a mattress. because you're going to be blowing my phone up, because all of our customers have our cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
But he goes, so I hear you on the warranty, and that's a great sounding warranty. But let me ask you something. What happens? You have a 10-year warranty on your mattress. What happens if in 4 years after I buy your mattress, you guys have closed? Mm-hmm. And I went, you run that risk with every business.
Yeah, literally anything like you buy.
Literally every single time you purchase something, you run that. What are you getting at?
Some of the giant companies that have gone out of business since 2020. It's like,
you want if I go out of business guaranteed?
Like, that was, yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Like, and we were, what does that look like? Right. And we were speaking on my cell phone, and I was like, this guy has my number. So I very quickly was like, I think you should look at these people. Like, just go.
Yeah.
That's one of those rare occurrences where you send them to your favorite competitor.
Yeah.
Actually sent them to the other company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have me to thank for that.
You know what's funny about that other company, too, though? And, like, when I refer people, and I never – so, first of all, on occasion I lose a sale to a small local business because somebody's in Iowa or whatever.
Yeah.
I am never mad about losing a sale to a small – because that's where we come from. That's my family, you know? So, so that's all good. But on the times when I refer people to the lower-priced option – you get a lot of people that'll ask really technical questions, really want to know answers to how some things are done. And they'll call the other company and call me back and be like, well, I mean, it was some salesperson that didn't know the answer to any of the questions. I'd rather have you guys build it because you guys obviously know what these products are better than those guys do.
Yeah.
But that's what you get from a bigger company too, where sales and manufacturing are not as integrated as the way that he and I do business, which, by the way, coming back to that word scalability, as we've grown, it's been essential to our business model to be able to maintain it, that we're able to grow and scale while keeping sales and manufacturing, sales and production really closely working together. Because that's one of the things that we've run into before, just in general, is you have ownership that starts to see sales as money in and production as money out. So they see the factory as just being a loss center as opposed to being the important thing, right? Because the product comes out of the manufacturing, not out of sales.
Right.
Anyway, that's a separate soapbox, but that's a hill I'll die on.
Well, that's one of the benefits that we have is that, well, one of the advantages that we have is that for both of us, the background was originally the production.
Before that, though, working in restaurants together, because that's it doesn't matter if you're making, you know, if you're making food for a table of four, or whether you're making mattresses, the process is the same. It's manufacturing, it's consistency, it's all those things that make the product worth buying and then buying again later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I go out and have a great experience, but the food is garbage, I'm not going back.
You're not going back. Yeah.
Just finishing up. Right. We've talked a lot about the product. We've talked a lot about the customer. I like what you said about kind of the production, the manufacturing really being the value of what's making you guys different than other mattress manufacturers. You haven't been able to see, I know you do commercial and personal, but you haven't really been able to see that 10-year purchase come back.
Right.
You've been in business less than 10 years as DeLarkin. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that comes back to benefit you at some point. I think it will.
But not until 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be fulfilling warranties.
Right. But how do you do on the referral side? Like, are you...
Can I talk about the warranty before we move on from that?
Yeah.
It's a good where you're going. But here's the thing about it, though. These mattresses that we're building now, we, mostly him, designed a lot of these mattresses for variations on them for the home bedding market 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've been through a warranty cycle and a half since we started building these. So while, our company's only been around for half of our warranty period, we've been building the same types of products using the same materials for way longer than that.
Right.
So our products are definitely things that last 10 years.
That last that long, yeah.
Like you're not seeing a lot of them come back.
Well, and if you're going to have a premature failure on a mattress,
we haven't had one come back.
No, we've never had one. But my point is, they happen within the first 5 years, typically, where there's actually something wrong. Now, when you get up to 10 years, what you have is, I've designed this for an average-sized person. So if you have someone that, let's say, is a very heavy person, it's going to be more wear and tear on a mattress. That's what causes the failure between 5 and 10 years. But the way that we make our products, the fact that we make them out of good materials, the way that he attaches the layers to each other so nothing shifts and moves, it's pretty bulletproof the way that we do these.
Yeah. I never thought of that, but I guess it would be a lot different if you have like a married couple, two people in a bed, than if you just have somebody single sleeping in a bed.
So, not really.
No.
Well, so what I tell people, because with our like top of the line mattresses, it comes with like a consultation with me to really dial in what you're looking for. What I tell people, because they always ask about that warranty, is they're like, okay, so is this the 10-year warranty? Is this, there's no way the mattress is going to feel exactly the way it feels. And I'm like, no, you're right. It's not going to feel the way it feels when it shows up at your door. The 10-year warranty means that for 10 whole years, you have a reasonable expectation that that mattress is going to be very comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Your body's going to change over the course of 10 years. The mattress is going to change over the course of 10 years. They're going to change together, and it's still going to be just as comfortable for you for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the next 10 years, at some point, you're going to pick a box up wrong, and your back is always a little different after that.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone tells you that, like, oh, you know, exact same thing, for it's they're lying. They just
and then the other one
work that way.
The other one that kills me is it was a mattress firm, I think. It was one of the big guys. Yeah, that started to shift it, and you should replace your mattress every eight years instead of 10. It's like you're just trying to increase the buying cycle by 20%. You and I both know it should last 10 years, not 8.
Right.
I mean, we could build a mattress that would fail after 8 years if that's what the customer wants, but most people don't.
Right. And that's just what you're saying is that there's a minor, negligible amount of change. There's an acceptable range of, okay, this will change.
Right.
It might sag just a little itty bitty bit, especially if you're heavy and you sleep in the same damn spot for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there might be minor stuff, but overall it holds up.
Yeah.
It stands the test of time.
Yeah, it should be 10 years before you go, man, I need a new bed. It should be.
Like, at least 10.
At least 10.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's funny because there's a lot of businesses that they're not thinking 10 years down the road. Their product needs
neither am I.
Days,
he
weeks,
is.
Months.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither am I. He is.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the referral thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, we talked about the warranty cycle, but the referrals, like, do you guys get a lot of referrals from your clients?
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
Here's what's funny
that's
is.
That's cool that's happening, though.
It's hard to reach these customers because there's so many different ways that someone could Google, I want a mattress that's an odd size for my boat / RV / antique bed / whatever.
Yeah.
And, but what you find is that it's not like RV people that make the referrals to other RV people. I mean, sometimes, but it's typically more niche than that. It would be like somebody has this one variation on a Sprinter van and there's this one Facebook group with 40 members.
I know who you're talking about, and I love that guy.
Yeah, Jim Lozon, we love you.
Yeah.
He's
Jim Lozon is just
yeah.
Yeah.
No, we get anyways, this
he
one
he refers everybody.
it's just one niche. He's our
every business has a Joe Lozon, is that what you said?
Jim Lozon, yeah.
And you're just internally grateful for that guy.
Dude,
yeah, he'll just post on Facebook
so
like
good.
He'll just post again like still love the mattress. Mm-hmm. And so you have like these 40
call.
People and then you have like 5 or 10 out of the 40 end up calling over the next year. Like, so for the sake of referrals, yeah, there's a lot of really, really niche markets, but those people talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also say this, though, for our top of the line product. So you get some people that are just going to completely bulk. So our top of the line product ends up being on average, depending on the size, somewhere between $3,000 and $3,500. Now, if you've been in a mattress store recently, you know that that's not a bad price for a really nice mattress anyway, let alone custom. But that's the one that Philip builds, and we guarantee the custom that it's just for you, just for your body. Philip can build a mattress for that old sports injury that you had 30 years ago or whatever. That's what he does. So anyway, it goes back to that whole point of if I say that and I'm not telling you the truth, then I'm going to get myself in trouble. So there'd be no point in me selling that unless I knew for a fact he can do it 100% of the time. So we have a lot of people that want the really top of the line because this is their vacation home on wheels, right? Mm-hmm. And they buy it, and then they end up sort of referring themselves, where they end up calling back 6 months later, like, we just got back home from this long cross-country trip, and now we're not sleeping comfortably. We're spoiled, used to the mattress and the RV. Now we need one just like if we're at home.
Okay.
That's why note-taking is important.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I had to learn how to take notes.
I mean, that's got to make you feel good. Like, you made the mattress comfortable in their RV that they're like, make one for my house that I'm gonna sleep on every night. That's pretty cool.
It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the biggest compliment that we could possibly have, that like It's not just about making a comfortable mattress. It's about producing a comfortable night's sleep. Right. When someone has been, they've got some old injury, or maybe it's not even an old injury. Maybe they just, you know, got an old back now or whatever it is.
They have old dogs. And that's happened before.
They're fighting that every day because they're not sleeping that well at night. And then that reduces the quality of their whole life. So, you know, I don't feel like I'm taking a lot of liberties by saying that you get somebody who's used to not sleeping and they think it's fine. And then all of a sudden they get our product and they're sleeping again. Their whole life has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you can get used to anything, and people are not aware of how uncomfortable they are.
Right. I mean, you, especially as you get older, you learn to appreciate good sleep versus not good sleep.
I don't get older. I wouldn't know about that.
Well, we decided not to. It was kind of, it was laming up the place, so we just stopped.
It was.
As a glasses wearer, though, I can tell you, if I go too long without updating my prescription, I'll feel like my glasses are just fine. I don't really need that. Get a new set of lenses, and I go, oh, I was driving with those old lenses? Like, you just get used to it, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Mine changed for the first time about a year ago, and I'm like a really good candidate for laser eye. You know, like they say, if it stays the same for 3 or 4
God,
years,
I want LASIK so badly.
I was the same for 10 years, but I remember the first time I got the prescription.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, there's actual leaves on that tree. It's not just a green blob.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
and you don't know how much something sucks until it's corrected. And you're like, holy crap, I was dealing with that.
Yeah, I put that
all
off
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing. People think putting off a mattress, like, oh, like I get if you're like behind on your mortgage or something, maybe it's not time to buy a mattress. Mm-hmm. But lacking that, people don't understand how getting a mattress that's made just for you and your body is like, you think you can put it off 6 months and you can, but once you do, you're like, I should have bought it when I first started thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what's cool is, like, as we're talking, I keep hearing, you know, he's the best mattress builder in America.
That's because
he's
It's true. He is. Yeah,
I am.
Yeah. I think people think, and I'm guilty of this too, that there's like some factory, like where you're pressing these things out of a mold.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it by hand. Yeah. But it's the same thing for cabinetry, right? Like cabinets get made either by a carpenter because it needed. So.
Do you think?
Okay. All right. So, like, off-the-shelf cabinets from Lowe's are being made in so many different sizes and shapes now, there's very rarely a reason that you need to have custom-built cabinets. And if you do, it's because something's so weird, it's not going to fit off the shelf, and you're going to have a craftsman that's going to take each little piece and fit it. But the ones that are made that fill up the shelves at a Lowe's or at an IKEA or whatever are made like that, where they come off an assembly line. It's predominantly automated, right? Hopefully there's some quality control in there. But, like, you're not having a guy cut and fit each individual piece. When you're hiring us for an RV mattress or something with an odd shape, you're hiring the craftsman to be able to get all of those pieces so the fitment's just perfect. The advantage to what we do, if it's not an odd size, and the reason that people would still want to use us is because of the, that's where you get into, you're getting away from the science, you're getting more into the art of mattress making, which is the biggest thing that he does. Like, there's plenty of other mattress makers that could hit sizing as well as he does.
Yeah.
But what he does is he's able to ask people questions, almost read their mind to be able to figure out where it hurts and be able to put it together. But that happens because out of our circle of professionals that we interact with on a daily basis are, you know, doctors, chiropractors, you know, clinicians of a number of, and we all talk about these things, about like the things that we ran into and what the solution was to it and how to relieve pressure and all this kind of stuff. So
like, how do you help somebody? Let's say they've got back pain versus like neck pain. What would be the difference in how you build a mattress for different scenarios?
If it's the neck or the back.
No, I'm not doing that. that depends on a number of things. Not the least of which is body type. So you got like, what's your weight and height ratio? What's your body weight distribution? You know, like.
He would not ask the question that way, though.
Right. Yeah, no. I'd be a lot nicer about it than that. But, like, you know, men, overweight men tend to carry their, you know, weight in their gut. Overweight women, you know, it goes to their hips and their chest a lot more often. You know, you're lying on your mattress differently. Do you sleep on your back or on your side? There's any number of things that can go there. But, I mean, you know, there are different. All right. If you take the exact same grade and firmness of foam, all right, and you take a 5-inch block of that foam, and then you take 5 1-inch sheets of that foam, and you attach them together. So they're not separate. Now they're attached to one another.
5 1-inch sheets or just one big block.
So it's basically two blocks. They're just made out of different layers.
Right. Yeah. But same grade, same everything. They compress differently. Because of the air between those sheets. Similar situation, well, same type of thing. You take a 5-inch block, you take 5 1-inch sheets, and then you take a 3-inch block with 2 1-inch sheets. It compresses differently. It all and that's the most basic way of explaining, like, all these things matter when you're talking about someone needing help with something.
Yeah. So you can have the exact same material and amount of material, but the way that you put it together,
the way it's drastically,
the order that changes things. Okay.
Yeah.
And, I would have never thought that. Yeah. I would have never even thought that was.
There's a lot of, I can't give a black and white answer regarding if someone goes, hey, I've got hip pain and my wife has back pain. I can't give a black and white answer regarding, you know, this is how I would adjust for this. This is how I would adjust for that. There are so many questions. Have you recently had any surgeries? Do you have any upcoming surgeries? Because if you have an upcoming surgery, I'm not making you a mattress right now. I'm happy for us to sell you a mattress. And then once you're on your way to recovery from your surgery, sweet, let's go ahead and start making your mattress.
That's got to be unique. You know? I got to assume that most mattress companies are not going to do that.
they're not going to give that advice either.
Well, they're also not going to ask those questions.
Another example, pregnant women. I'm uncomfortable because I'm pregnant right now. And we're like, yeah, but you're not going to be pregnant in 4 months and you're going to have a pregnant person mattress.
Right.
So, so we can fix it for you, but let's understand, we're going to have to do a rework or sell you a new one in a couple of months. Yeah. If you can afford it, great. You're going to be really comfortable.
Yeah, but happy to do it for you, but, you know.
Let's give good advice up front.
Yeah, but we want to do right by people because we, if we do something dishonest to make a sale right now, that gives us, I don't know, let's say $2,000.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not changing anyone's life. You know what I mean? But if we're honest about this, you know, and we can probably still make the sale. Because frankly, one of the things that I've learned, that we both learned from this, because, and I'll speak for both of us because we've spoken about this many times, the majority of people appreciate you just talking to them like they're people.
Yeah.
They don't want you to convince me, sell me on this. It's one of those like, hey, what's the information? Yeah. You know, if we're honest and, you know, you know, you don't need the $2,000. Maybe you need a $1,250. Cool. You got a mattress for $1,200. Sweet. Happy for you. You're really happy with your mattress. In 10 years, hopefully sooner than that, because you have other rooms you want a mattress in, you're going to buy more mattresses from me. And then you're going to tell your friends and your family.
But even if not, though, it's not that hard. You treat people like you want to be treated, right? So, like, I tell people all the time, my advice is free. I know more about mattresses than anyone's going to tell you over the phone. And I'll tell you all of it, you know? It's not a secret how we make the sausage.
Right.
If you want us to make it, then you got to hire us for it. But yeah, you know, it's funny though about that consultation. So the way that it works is I'll sell a mattress to a person, typically over the phone, and I'll explain our process. Philip's going to call you. And then,
by the way, this mattress is called the Oasis.
It's called the Oasis. Yeah. That's,
that mattress is called
important information.
In case anyone wants to know, it's called the Oasis.
Yeah. And I have another thing I want to say about that in just a second, about this, the custom sizing thing. But, so a lot of the time I'll talk to somebody and we'll agree on a process and a price point. They want the top of the line. Okay, Philip's going to call you. He'll call you tomorrow, whatever. And then I'll talk to him after that. And they'll be like, you know, he asked me some questions that made sense, like whether I sleep on my back or my side. He asked me some weird questions. And I'm like, don't worry about it. He knows what he's doing. So I just think that's really funny that he's he's got his process for these things. But the other thing I was going to say, though,
then you get that weird phone call, or he's calling you, and he's like, hey, so Phil, why don't you ask them to your favorite flavor of ice cream? And he's got to then just justify why that was relevant for making the mattress.
Well, that's actually really simple, because a lot of the coolant that they put in memory foam now, the gel coolant is minty smelling. So if it's mint chocolate chip, then, like, there's less work I have to do.
Your mattress will smell like... Yeah. Like you just finished a nice meal.
You're going to love this mattress.
Yeah. Trust me. Just don't eat it.
Yeah.
I did have someone one time ask me, like, is it poisonous? And I'm like, I don't understand your question.
Yeah. I was like, why you're asking me this is fundamental to how I'm going to answer it. Are you
like, sleeping on this material will not harm you in any way, shape, or form. But I've told multiple people, I've had to tell them this, like, you cannot eat this. It's not designed.
Well, it's a lot of people that are concerned about like their dogs or something like that. Yeah, it's not actually customers who want to eat it, but they're like, if my dog eats this,
or babies, they'll eat anything.
Like, it's not warranted against your dog eating it. That's not. Sorry.
My daughter brought me a chunk of foam today.
It was nice of her.
Yeah, it was great.
Were you running low?
Well, now I am, because it came out of my mattress.
What was the cover off?
I was washing it.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Yeah, and I was making lunch, and she was just like, Daddy, here.
When it comes to those chemicals, though, all of our products fall under a certification called CertiPure. Mm-hmm. So it actually is a company that makes sure the people making our products, that they're the components that go in there, that it doesn't use any carcinogenic, any known carcinogenic chemicals or formaldehydes or anything like that. So actually, ours is as close to non-toxic as it can be. You know?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, so that's actually a great thing. We also, for people that are concerned about that, do things like leave a fire retardant layer off, which...
We need a doctor's note for that.
Well, we make it really easy to do that. We've got a standard boilerplate thing.
A doctor's note to keep your mattress from burning on fire.
Because the Consumer Product Safety Commission requires that we put it on there. The only way that we can leave it off is if it's authorized by a medical professional. But it could be a dentist, a chiropractor. I've never had an optometrist, right? Yeah. But I imagine that would be fine. But
And we just have a... Sorry.
I don't want to speak like I have a level of expertise in biochemistry that I don't have, but I will tell you, as someone with many, many years of dealing with these fire retardant materials and having done research into it, you know, not being a complete layman on it, I don't put that in any of my mattresses or for my family and my friends. I kind of recommend leaving it out.
You just go, hey, sign this real quick.
So yeah, it's not. In my opinion, it's not really particularly helpful, although I don't work for CPSC, so that's not my area. And it may be harmful, so maybe let's just not, given the option.
Tell them how we used to get rid of it.
Let's not share that. It's recorded.
Let's go out to the internet. Plausible deniability.
There's a lot of stuff on the internet that, you know, is being shared.
Look, I keep telling your wife about
this portion
too.
Of the show was all AI.
That's fair. I forgot that's what we call her now.
Yeah. I should have had a sixth finger on. Yeah.
The whole time.
No, I was going to say about the custom sizing, though, what we've gotten into in the last year or two that's been really fun, too, is not just doing these custom size stuff for the boats and RVs and all that, but also doing big, giant, oversized Alaskan Kings and Wyoming Kings and some of those types of products. We build beds for them so you can get the right kind of support, customize all of it. And to me, if you're going to buy something that's going to be that massive and you're going to pay for that much material, I say just go ahead and spring for the consultation too and make something that not only will fit you and your all your kids and your dogs and your parakeet and whatever it is that you've got going, but also be able to have that next level comfort.
So wait, so like I'm assuming from you saying this, these are bigger than like your standard King.
Oh, much bigger.
Like a California King, and then Wyoming, and Alaska, a bunch of states.
I'll give you an example. Just
state
where
kings.
You start. A lot of people, so he's 6'4". I'm 6 feet. Mm-hmm. I fit on a king-size mattress just fine. He gets a little tight on a king-size mattress and can hang off the end a little bit. Yeah. So he would like, say, a California King, which mm-hmm. is a little bit longer than a King. A lot of people don't realize this. A California King is narrower than a King, so you're losing some of the width and adding it to the length.
It's the same square footage.
So what
if
you...
I didn't know that at all.
What was that?
I'm same height, so like I need that too, but I didn't know you lost on the width.
Your King is 76 by 80. Your California King is 72 by 84.
You take the 4 inches and, okay.
That's why it's, so that way companies that make it are using the same amount of material, yeah. So they can contain their costs. Yeah. But if it were me and I was 6'4", I would be like, I want something California King length, but I would like to have the width of a King. I don't want to give that up because presumably if you're long, you're also wide compared to someone who's not. So, yeah, so then you get into that. You get into some mattresses that add extra width, or some people, like we've got an NBA player that we made a mattress for not too long ago that wanted something even longer than that. So now we're at 96 inches in length, but he also didn't want to give up the width.
He crushed that sale.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That was dope.
Can you tell me who it was?
Or no? I probably should.
Let's respect his
privacy. But
what about what team? Are you allowed to say what team?
At the time.
Maybe let's not do that either. But I will tell you this: we delivered, or I delivered it to his townhome in Chicago. Okay. So that
was
actually
a week turnaround.
He said, "I got to have it in a week." And I said, "There's no way we can ship it and get it to you in a week." But I said, "If you will hire us to do this right now, I will drive it to you in Chicago."
Yeah,
awesome. But
that was the first time you went to Chicago.
It was the first time I went to Chicago. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was asking because I was hoping there was like he asked you to make a special S into it. I saw one of those cribs.
That
could have been done though.
That would have been dope. It was not him. It was a center.
I'm pretty sure his bed is like 12 feet by 12 feet.
I saw that. Yeah.
What is that? Is that a state?
That's not a thing.
That's just a giant mattress.
It's also an oval or circle. It's also a circle.
Yes.
Here's the thing though. If it's somebody that calls us and wants a mattress that's any size or shape or there's special qualifications for success, the answer is yes, we can do it and we can do it perfectly. I don't care what it is.
Well, see, I don't have to be 7-Eleven. If I'm just like a super competitive guy and I want my bed to be bigger than Shaq's, you can make that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But see, not only that, when we start doing...
room big enough for that.
Not for cheap. Yeah. Because all that costs.
Let's get into some of the crazy stuff. Like, how do you get it into the person's house? How do you ship it? How do you do it? And we love that kind of puzzle, you know, to be able to do it. And we're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to put them together in people's bedrooms before
because you can't get it through the front door.
Once it's put together, you can't move this
out. Right, hey, this is here.
You're gonna have to cut this out.
Yeah, absolutely. But those people know that before the sale's finalized.
Yeah, like,
we've done entire builds in people's bedrooms because you couldn't get the components in.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anything else you want to tell the audience about DeLarkin?
Buy our mattresses.
Who even do?
Sometimes I wonder. No, just, I mean, the main thing that I wish more people would understand is that, like we said earlier, you don't know how uncomfortable you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. But just think about how often you see somebody, whether, you know, you work with them or a personal relationship or whatever, and they're upbeat and they're losing their mind and they're happy and you go, dude, what's up with you? And they just say, dude, I slept well.
Yeah.
You could have that every day.
Everyone knows you have kids now from what you just said.
That's fair. I do. But you could have that. You could have that every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened this morning. My wife was, she woke up and she was in a great mood and it was weird. And, and she was like, dude, I slept so good. Like, I feel great.
Nice.
Like, awesome. Sweet. And yes, it's on a mattress I made.
Well, here's the other thing I'll tell you. This industry is unfortunately very full of snake oil and used car salesmen, you know, that are just telling you whatever. And look, I don't know exactly what you've got. I can tell you we can make the best products out there. Are we the best fit for you? Maybe, maybe not. But I'll help you wade through all of that bull crap. I'll give you honest answers and make sure that no matter what you're looking for, I don't even care if you're looking for a local person and you're not going to buy online at all. You can call us anytime and I'll stay on the phone with you until you feel like you have your feet under you so you can make the right purchase for yourself.
Yeah.
That's true. He will. I've heard him do it and delay our meetings for it.
Right. I mean, you guys seem really genuine. I think that's what people want. It's just like, yeah, give it to me straight. What am I dealing with here? Nobody wants to deal with a snake oil salesman and nobody wants to deal with a customer service person that's trained and just trying to get through the process and pump out the product. So seems like you guys really care to take care of your clients, which is hopefully going to benefit you in, you know, the long term.
That's the idea. You know, I mean, we're honest, we're kind of absurd and we're a little stupid, but we're honest. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't anything like that. Cause that's not the kind of people we want to be. That's not the kind of world we want to live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world's a better place when everyone's just kind of actually doing their best.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. That's what he tells me.
Well, guys, I appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being on the Business Spotlight. You know, for those of you that have made it through this entire video, thank you. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, and everything else you can on social media. We appreciate you. Cheers.
I just drank his.
What?
I'm out.
That's why you were last drop. Like that.